Hey guys, hope you guys enjoyed all of our short style podcast from our AIM Expo. This is a return to our normal programming. We have a two-part series, which we're calling Spring Training 2024. Listen into our two-part series. Hope you guys enjoy.
We're going to do our best to get new thinking out there.
There's going
to
be discussions centered around growth and new thinking.
That's where those great ideas come from, exploring them together.
Nuggets that you can go back and put into your dealership that'll help you make more money.
This is GarageCast.
Welcome to GarageCast. That was a long spat of mini casts.
Hiatus.
From AIM Expo.
Yes, yes it was. And I loved hearing them, but it felt weird, didn't it?
It did feel weird. It's like you were playing hooky or something, but got a lot of positive feedback. A lot of people love the, you know, the short, quick hits from tons of different people and hearing from just a lot of people.
When I think the people we chose were super helpful too. It wasn't like we were just randomly grabbing people at AIM Expo. We got people who were industry people, product providers, right, system providers, all the above. Yeah. So I think that, and I think keeping it to that length made it really fun too. Certainly for us.
Yeah, totally.
Hot shots. What do we call them? Power shots.
Power shots. Exactly, dude. Yeah. So it'll be interesting because in 2025, we're going to go back and do the same thing in Vegas. Hope to see everybody at AIM Expo.
We might do that at MRAA too. We'll see where that goes, but it's possible.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, it's funny that we're sitting here with the winter round recap, but let's not call it a winter round recap. Let's call it spring training, right? Because it's it really is all things that we're, selling season is upon us. And I don't care what anybody says about, hey, it's always on us 12, 13 months out of the year. I get it. But March and April, spring kickoff, it is happening. This is essentially where we want to go into what's going on out there and what we're seeing, what we're hearing. And let's dive into this, dude. Yeah.
Well, this is the excitement level for most of the employees, even though the owners may have a different date on the calendar where they get fired up. Yeah. I think for the team, like, here we go. You know, people are out on the water. People are riding motorcycles. Certainly down here in Colorado, I was out with the wife on the motorcycle yesterday. So it's nice to get out and about and see other motorcycles out there.
How did that go? She was on the bike with you or she was riding her own?
No, she was on the back with me. She hasn't been on the back with me since before COVID. So that
in celebration of your 59th birthday, you guys went for a nice little mountain ride.
Maybe it was 69. I don't know, Tony. Everybody did keeps you celebrate this your number up on me.
Did you celebrate your double ARP discounts at all the diners you went to? Yeah, did you have Salisbury steak at 3:30 in the afternoon with Jell-O?
I passed on the Jell-O, but 3:30 was a hit. I substituted some bourbon for some Jell-O, but I do have my AARP card laminated these days. So
that is awesome.
I remember Ed back in the day, he used to have a lanyard and he'd because it was hard to fly with all your documents and he'd have all his boarding pass and his driver's license and his passport and it'd all be hanging around his neck. And I was just like, that's the oldest thing I've ever seen. Like the old people do something like that. And yeah. I found myself being more functional and trying to make things easier as I travel. And so I reflect back on Ed yet again.
Yeah. No part of me in my head ever thought I was old until I realized I was seeking out comfortable shoes. That's when I knew. I was like, it was over. Like, yeah, these shoes are. And then you're telling people, oh, yeah, I know that these shoes are really comfortable. I'm like, wow, you may as well just go get Velcros on those suckers. Wow, too.
It's just man. Like, when did naps become a thing of the past? I look forward to naps these days. And so I realized that I'm regressing again.
All right, so let's get into this, and I think we'd be remiss if we did not hit on what I think honestly is probably my and your number one topic that is always top of mind in our head, which is again the digital landscape, right? It is an area where we started focusing on this about 5 years ago and really not understanding what we were doing and just kind of throwing some parameters up for our composite. And then, you know, we've refined that over the years to where we are now in this game big and we are telling our dealers like this is the thing. And so, yeah, man, kick us off with the digital landscape and I'll come in behind you on my thoughts.
Well, I just sit here and this all stems from that Polk industry study that was done a couple of years ago. And the numbers still hold true that 95% of new and pre-owned journeys, your customer journey starts online. So if it starts online, why aren't we meeting them online? And not for just a, did you get the appointment in the store, but actually embracing them and letting them shop in this omni-channel world where the customer wants to shop any way they want to. Why are we not treating it with the magnitude that it is? If we would have said 20 years ago, there's a new way that people are starting their journey with you, we'd be all over that and trying to figure that out. And I think, Tony, you know, we've got a lot of power sport dealers that came out of the auto side. And the belief, I think the belief is, well, we do have it figured out, Sam. We've been doing it this way in auto forever. And I'm like, well, that works for a transaction of a product that people need. But is that really the best thing in a want-based, emotionally fueled world? And so to your point, Tony, we didn't know what we were doing. And quite frankly, I don't think anybody knew what they were doing. And we're still trying to figure out all of the parameters about this. What we do know is that it's its own animal. This isn't a bolt-on job description. Yep. We're not tasking the salesperson to also handle all the digital leads. Not that a lot of our dealers aren't doing that. It's bigger than that. And I always think about the auto dealership. If you're going to use the auto as a reference, well, the used inventory in the auto side is such a big deal that we have a used car manager and a used car lot and used car salespeople. Do we have the same for the digital landscape? Because it's that big of a deal to maximize, specialize. So I just think we as an industry need to step up to the magnitude that is shopping in the digital landscape and not try to shove them into our system every single time, because some people just don't want that.
Yeah, fully agree with what you're saying. And it's good to hear that you caught yourself. You didn't catch yourself, but you followed up with, like, I don't think our dealers are, meaning they're not separating it out. They're letting people have at it at what they think is 100%, but it's really half-assed. And this is my theory. And again, this is one of those things that I consistently try and keep top of mind, which is, I feel like it's a demographic thing. I still feel that a lot of power sports dealerships, a lot of Harley Davidson dealerships, a lot of marine dealerships are owned by my and your generation or boomers still, right? I would venture to say that a major portion of those businesses are owned by people in their mid to late 40s into their 60s and 70s. And it's just not a generation that has their finger on the pulse. Now, you can learn that. You can go hire somebody to take care of it. I just don't think it has been top of mind, because not that they're not necessarily falling behind the time. Well, no, they are falling behind it. They're completely falling behind the times, and we are in a completely new,
maybe intentional. Maybe we are intentionally falling behind the times. Like, that's how I feel about TikTok. And you know this, I think it's the dumbest application in the world. That being said, when a statistic I heard on podcast the other day is that between the age of 18 and 25, those voters in the political landscape, 90% of them are getting all their information off of TikTok. Now, I can think it's as dumb as I want, but it needs to be considered if you're playing in the political landscape. So maybe it is that our generation is just choosing and opting out of, well, I don't want to go that route. I'm comfortable with the door swings that we get.
Right. And that is, they are relying on the people that are walking through the door into their businesses, which again, for decades and decades was how we did business. Well, we have shifted. We're not shifting. We have shifted, and the numbers are all there to support it. So I guess what we both want to point out is this: the best in this business now are not only treating their leads like door swings, they are mining their most powerful tool, and that's their CRM. So they are fully aware and have their finger on the pulse of the phone calls, the emails, the text threads, the chats, the OEM leads. Like, they are on top of everything that is on a computer, and they have people dedicated to not even looking at the front door.
Yeah.
Backs towards the front door, looking at a computer screen, mining all their data. And when I say mining, and I've said this many times before, most dealerships throw around BDC as this word of what they're doing. And that's just not what you have. If you have a true BDC like the auto side, it is digital statistics, and you're mining your data, and you are creating business to come through your door. You're creating it. You're not just taking what you have and turning it over to come through the door. You're making business happen, right? So for the most part, power sports, marine, you don't have a BDC. You have an internet sales department. And the best in the business are treating that as their most important customer, and they rock it out. I would say, dude, that's less than 5%.
Which is a shame, right? Because you look at all the headroom. You look at how many dealers are, quote, buried in inventory and flooring costs to go along with that inventory. But there is an outlet there that you're not maximizing. You're maximizing all these other departments inside your store there is a department called the internet department, call it whatever you want, BDC or otherwise, that the majority of our dealers, and I think the industry, we are not maximizing. And something as simple as speed to lead, I got three bullet points for you. Number one, speed to lead. Get to that lead as fast as you possibly can. Because if I, the consumer, am not attached to a dealership, I have no, I got a guy in the industry, then whoever gets back to me first is probably at least going to get a first swing at me, whether they get my business or lot or not. Number two, embrace the way people want to communicate. Let them shop in the digital landscape. Stop trying to shove them in your front door. Maybe that's where you get to, but allow them the opportunity to shop how they want to shop. The third bullet point is allow for videos. I mean, just embrace videos. Just try it. I would beg every dealer out there to just try it and see what happens, because the closing rate when you're using video starts to skyrocket. So those three simple tips, I think, could help a whole lot of dealers, Tony.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I gave a speech back in February and I said the most important question that should be coming out of your sales department or internet sales department today is, how would you like to communicate? Because again, the assumption is pick up a phone and dial. It's funny I say pick up a phone as if it's still on a cradle and I'm still and dialing. Grab your cell phone or grab the dealership phone, whatever, right? And dial. But the number one question in an email, in a video, in a phone call, in a text or a chat is, in what manner would you like me to communicate with you?
Yeah.
Because a lot, I'm telling you right now, I do not want phone calls from you until I get enough information off of an email or a text thread. So number one thing you should be asking your digital landscape, guys.
Hey, I want to circle back on something you said during COVID, because we are beating the drum on mind the database. And you had said, if I say, hey, you can either, you salesperson, you can either have all the digital leads or you could have all the physical leads coming through the door.
Front door.
Right. Through the front door. And we're just like, anybody worth their weight and understanding the math would take the digital side of things.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So you had also mentioned on the last recap at the end of last year that our digital closing rate, I think you mentioned this at AIM Expo, the closing ratio, once we have a customer on the line, the closing rate is considerably higher for a digital lead than it is a front door swing.
In the digital landscape, it is.
So why aren't we treating it with the same level of importance as a front door swing? You know, I sit here, old. I think maybe, but like, Tony, if you owned a power sports store and a customer came in at 10 minutes till 6 o'clock and you're just like, yeah, we're going to go on home. You can stay here as long as you want. We're just going to lock the doors. We'll come see you in the morning. You never lock your customers into the showroom floor overnight. How many customers are being locked into the digital showroom because they did not get a response to their lead because it came 10 minutes in before closing? Do you treat it with the same level, dealers, with the same level of importance as your front door swing? That's all I'm asking.
And that question that you just posed that I've asked thousands of times now, which is, if I gave you the front door or I gave you your CRM, what would you take? Yeah. I've never had anybody ever tell me, I want the front door. They all say, I want the digital leads. I'm like, okay, so why are we not hiring more people to function in that role of digital? Well,
let me just clarify what you just said, because you and I just made the same mistake. I called it a digital lead, but you just clarified it perfectly when you said CRM, which means they're already a customer of ours and they're in our CRM. To me, very different than the digital lead coming through the front door. So now we have three opportunities.
Yep.
Would you rather have your front door swings? Would you rather have your CRM leads? Or would you rather have the digital leads? And I'd say it's a close first place between the digital leads and the CRM leads as far as which I'd take.
Agreed. So, okay. So we've beat you over the head for 10 minutes on the digital. And please, I'm telling you, if you're just not in the game or you don't have a solid plan that you can define in front of your 20 club, if you can't come to your 20 club and say, here is how my digital sales process works. Here's who gets the lead. Here's how they hand off the lead. Here is the pay plan. If you can't define that, then you're not in the game. And quite frankly, you are losing right now.
Well, and if your answer to that question is we just round robin the leads to all of our salespeople, you're also losing.
Yep. Totally agree. Let's move on to marketing, events, boat shows, some social in there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, man.
Well, Tony, you know, I do a lot of boat show training before the season starts with several different people out there. And I think this comment right here came from Rich Regal from C-Ray, and I loved it. He said, customers are becoming tone deaf to interest rates, war, inflation, and the election. I bring those up in my speeches these days as just distractions. It's really easy to go, well, you know, with the war, nobody's buying because they don't know what's going on, and with the interest rates, and they really suck, and therefore, blah, blah, blah. And the reality is, we have people who want boats and motorcycles, and we have boats and motorcycles in our inventory. Go to work. And it was nice to start hearing this from other people in the industry, not just industry reports, not just Retail Dive, not just Rolex white paper that you and I really enjoyed over the MIC event in Vegas, but like to hear it from manufacturers that mm-hmm. these things are just becoming, they're just not issues anymore. And that doesn't mean you don't have the person who's coming in, getting beat up by the interest rate or working you down because of whatever. As a general rule, you don't have a mass amount of people that are turning down deals because of interest rates, war, inflation, election. It's just a distraction. You've got to get that through to your team. These things are distractions. Let's be in a good mood. Let's set the tone and let's sell some boats today.
I put forth a different opinion, which I agree with what he's saying. I think there are a lot of people that are that way because if you look at the consumer confidence may not be there in the economy, but man, we sure are buying the shit out of everything still, you know. So my counterpoint to that would be, man, there's still a lot of people out there that want to feel good. Like, I know the stress of the economy and the election and the war and all this stuff is going on. I need a dopamine hit. I need something fun to go purchase. I need something great to do this summer. So I think you can combine those both. But that is a really good point, is that, yeah, people are tone deaf to something that just lasts so long. So I agree with that.
We're seeing that coming out of a lot of the boat shows. Many of the boat shows have already happened, and the feeling yep. is just like, oh no, I'm here to buy a boat, man. And these aren't even conversations that are being had right now. Certainly yeah. the excitement level at boat shows. And I think, Tony, you have to look at what your ROI is on a boat show, because you know, they went away for so long and then we came back to them and people are still doing a digital boat show, and it costs a tremendous amount to have a presence at the boat show. And the question that came up in all of our 20 clubs on the marine side, quite frankly, is, do you have a measurement so that you can measure the ROI on your boat show investment? Mm. For years, particularly in the Harley space, we like to look at transactions per dollar spent on an event, right? So if we spend 10 grand on the event this weekend, how many transactions, and then what's the dollar amount per transaction to know if we're going to repeat that transaction or did it work, et cetera. In the boat show environment, you may need a different measurement off of that, because it's not necessarily transactions that are happening. Certainly deposits are happening, but what is your ROI on your show investment? And if you don't have one, you need to start creating a report that tells you that.
One of the final things I want to talk about as far as marketing and your events and your website and your social presence is, you know, I started asking this in January, February, again, in those speeches, is your shop a place that you would like to shop? Mm. Is your shop a place that you would like to shop? Because if you wouldn't want to shop there and it's not interesting enough for you to be there, then you got a problem. And the next question I would ask yourself is your shop site, like, is the website, are your social sites places that you would follow or want to read about as you're death scrolling? Is it something that catches your eye? Are you interesting? Really stop. Take a step back and look at your marketing effort. Take a step and look back and look at your last 20 posts that you put up on social media accounts. Are you interesting? Because if you're not, and you can honestly say you're not, you're actually damaging yourself. You're not doing, people say, well, you know, I could do better and I'm almost not doing anything. That's not true, actually. By continuing to put up garbage and make yourself uninteresting, you're doing damage to your business by getting people to unfollow you, to not like what you put up there. And the algorithms just simply don't bring you to the top any longer. So ask yourself that question from many different angles. If you're in service, is my service shop a place that I would like to shop? Is my power sports dealership, is my marine dealership, the way that it looks from the outside my bathrooms, is it a place that I would like to go to the bathroom in? And are my social media sites and my marketing efforts and the things that I put out to my customers, are those things that I would like to get from my favorite place?
Well, and because we know that 95% of the journey starts online, I think those social media sites are paramount in the order of ranking what you just said, Tony. And back to your point of we're old, that we don't have the answers. Well, thank God you and I aren't running the social media site, because we would never come up with the stuff that our gal Amanda comes up with, right? And she's pressing us, and you and I, we kind of roll our eyes sometimes like, oh, you want us to do what? You want us to turn a camera on ourselves and do something? And then you look at our, you know, April Fool's compilation that we had everybody do. And if you haven't seen it, gang, you should go to the social site and see the compilation we did at GC. That was a great push from Amanda. And Tony, you had some, you tweaked it a bit, and I think it turned out really great. But that became interesting on something that we kind of sometimes roll our eyes on. Do we really need to post something else on social media? And the answer is yes. People are following. People are watching.
Let's go to major unit inventory and flooring, because this is a big one, right? So the trend is, in all segments that we do work in, the trend is that your inventory levels are up. This should not be shocking to you. Your inventory values are up by significant amount of seven figures. Confident in saying that. Your obsolescent inventory values are up significantly by sometimes over 60 to 70% now. Yep. And it does not appear that there is an end in sight to the inventory that you're going to be continuing to get. And then the last part would be your flooring interest is mounting, and it can be crushing. So again, not a shock. We're not the bearers of bad news. We're just telling you the numbers as we see them, and you know them. So major unit inventory and flooring.
Well, I tell you what, you mentioned obsolescence. I'm just going to unpack that one here for a second. That one might be the one that scares me the most, Tony, because inventory's up, values are up. Well, values are up, yeah, even with the same inventory number. But the fact that inventory numbers are up, I think people said yes to a bunch of deals that at the time they said yes to, they felt pretty good about that. Now they're sitting on some heavy inventory right now. But the OBS, the obsolescent inventory, and by our definition, that's something that's, you know, it's a birthday bike or a birthday boat, something that's been with you for over a year now becomes obsolete. And what are we doing to get rid of it? And I really do believe that the obsolescence that we're seeing here on the front end of 2024, unfortunately, is just the tip. I think there's a whole lot more coming because we've sagged off in sales. We forgot what relationship selling used to look like. We are not being proactive in the front end of the season. We're hoping for the spring rush to kind of take care of everything. And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. I think we have more obsolescence to come. And so you look at what is the way through that. And I think there's a lot of people out there that could say, you know, we'll have this huge sale and we'll discount everything. And Ed always used to say, you can sell your way through bad management, bad inventory, a name change, all of the above. But you have to have the selling mindset, the causing a sale to happen mindset. So watch your obsolescence. Know what's coming to hit to become an obsolete. And let's see if we can get in front of some of those.
Right now it can be a dangerous time if you allow your shop to fall under the premise that you're just going to take low margins to blow things out. You have to convince your staff. Now, I'm not suggesting that you don't have a lot of inventory that you do need to get rid of. So I understand that premise. And I'm not suggesting that you don't take low margins on quite a bit of your stuff. What I'm suggesting is let's not just get into the habit of starting at a 9 or 8% deal, right? Let's not just go out there and say, I'm barely going to make money, or I'm going to do this deal on holdback, or I'm going to make this happen on rebates just because I need to get rid of it. What I'm suggesting is ensure that you're still working every deal for every dollar, because there are still people that will pay top dollar for what you have. So what is going to keep businesses going this season is a varied portfolio of high grossers, low margins, making up your money in F&I, making up your money in service, but you still have to be selling units at profitable prices and getting them into the F&I office, which means full pop when they see that first pencil, a down payment and a payment every single time. Super important, gang.
Well, and Tony, I think when you talk about decreased margins, that's half of the battle, right? Because the decreased margins have to do with the deals we're already seeing. The whole point of having a selling mindset and selling your way through this is causing a deal that wasn't a deal in the first place. So you can only take a margin on a deal from a customer who's already excited to say yes. But when you look at transactional ratios, there are a whole lot of deals that we're losing, and I'm ahead of myself with the sales department, that aren't even making it to a point of looking at a deal, right? So we have to have that selling mindset. And you know, just back on the inventory situation, with so many dealers who in 2017, 2018, you had dealers that were on credit hold and they couldn't get the inventory because they were on credit hold. Well, right now they took all the inventory and it's buried in their inventory. The dealers who may be on credit hold if they didn't have the inventory are now not on credit hold, but they're sitting too heavily on inventory. And again, it's just a different way of looking at how many dealers are sitting on how much inventory. And I go right back to, we must have a selling mindset to get out of it. Be damned the margins. The margins can be whatever they want. You can hold out for high margins or take the low margin deals, but you have to be able to have enough deals to see to be able to sell your way through this in the first place.
Yeah. Paying flooring costs with decrease in margin is that's a scary game, dude. So the last point that we want to talk about here is getting off of your OEM flooring and finding a local bank. So I love that. I also have a lot of dealers that knew that the economy would reconcile and it would become a supply market again, and have taken a lot of the money that they made during COVID or that they got from their idle or whatever that might be. And they have actually gone in and started paying off their units on their own. And they're going to survive that way, where they can go make their margins and do well with paying off their own units. So you've seen a lot of that?
Yeah, we have. And people are just any chance they can to find a local bank and move it off of OEM flooring. Again, the OEM flooring is good while the rates are good. And the second that the juice kicks in on them, they're pulling it, which is, I think a lot of times you see an OEM report and it says that, you know, flooring isn't as bad as people think, or even Wells Fargo wants to report on flooring's not as bad as people think. But that's not taking into account how many people paid the flooring bill off, quote unquote, by moving it to a local bank or lender. So I think it's a bit more staggering than a lot of the reports are coming in. So yes, if you can find a local bank.
Yeah. I'd like to have a conversation with anybody that says the flooring isn't all that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Prove to me how it's not bad when it is damn near tripled. The flooring, it
depends on what your word definition of bad is, right? Most of those people are comparing it to 2018 and 2019, to which I say that the flooring that's hitting right now is just the tip. I've been talking about every single month, you look at flooring, look at it as a per unit sold number, and you're watching it exponentially increase on a per unit sold number, which means more and more is coming out of your inventory. Well, I shouldn't say out of your inventory. It's simply coming from current inventory into obsolete inventory. Right. And so you're paying more and more juice on everything that's selling that's out there. So what is bad? Maybe the number isn't bad relative to 2018, 2019 terms, but what's still to come is on a hockey stick trajectory that we've got to find a way in front of.
I think one of the other issues that we see that is going to continue to be a problem unless all the manufacturers can pump the brakes a little bit is when you're talking about buying units now that are as much as vehicles, you know, when and I'm talking, you know, the we're not talking $25,000 anymore. We're talking $45,000, $55,000. There are motorcycles, side by sides. There's all these things out there that are in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and you're carrying juice on those, man. It is going to skyrocket flooring and inventory costs like mad.
Yep.
Okay, gang. So that is going to be part one of a two-part series of our spring training, our spring 2024 training episode. So stay tuned next week for our second part of our two-part series, and we will talk to you guys then. Hope you enjoyed this part. Next week, we're going to talk about sales, F&I, P&A Pro Shop and Service, staffing, and some other stuff as well in there. For Sam Dantzler, I'm Tony Gonzalez. This has been GarageCast. Have a fantastic Tuesday.
Thanks, everyone.